Welcome. Thank you for joining us for the second season of Campus, a novel that wants to be a musical. And this season, we'll be finding out what happens to the fairy godteachers, Jack and Jill, Dr. Dag and Mr. Mediocrity, plus a whole slew of new characters in this season that covers the first day of classes, plus more. Season 2, Episode 1, Melody's First Class. Melody began her first class. You remember Melody, the fresh young teacher gnome, a native of Dog Hobble whose father had worked his entire life as a custodian in the toy factory owned by Mr. Mediocrity. A gnome who went away to the big city of Asheville to attend school and came back to teach at the College of Applied Multipurposes United in Simplicity. A gnome who dreamed of being a fairy god teacher. Yes, this was her first class ever. This little gnome who swore she would never work in the toy factory, and if she had wanted to, she wouldn't have been able to make any toys, because only elves were considered capable of making a decent product. "Gnome's fingers are too fat," she was told by a lithe, willowy elf with long, thin, white fingers, abnormally pointy ears, crooked, dingy teeth, and, of course, bad breath. But against all odds, here she was in her first English class, and she could feel the fear and loathing emanating from the students. It certainly was different from the private liberal arts college she went to in the real world, where there were no gnomes, except for her. When she stepped into the classroom, 25 students turned to face her, then turned back to their phones to continue their fingered conversations. No one had turned on the lights, and the faces of gnomes and elves, boojum and vampire, zombie and human, as well as one mothman, glowed in the light of their phones. Melody flicked on the lights and all of them groaned. "Sorry," she said cheerily, "we need light to write." More groans. Melody walked to the podium at the front of the classroom and stood behind it. She gripped the dozen sheets of paper she had printed off. It was pretty much a transcript, word by word, of what she would say and do, as well as what she would have them do. In the other hand was the textbook that she had been reading and studying since the moment it was put into her hands by Mrs. Whittaker, her fairy godteacher. She looked at the watch. Yes, a wristwatch, a family heirloom that her mother had given her. It was a gold Gruen watch, made in Switzerland, her mother had said, where your oma was from. Her mother had told her that her oma had immigrated from Switzerland at the turn of the century. Most gnomes came to America from Europe with the circus back then, passed off as little people, of course. Melody's oma had brought this watch herself from her first job's earnings. My mother was determined to make it on her own, and she would have, but then she met your opa, and that was all she wrote. Her mother told Melody that oma had seen the watch in an Asheville department store window near the restaurant where she waited tables. She saved up for months to get that watch. It was beautiful, gold with Art Deco grapes and leaves styling and large black Arabic numerals that were easy to read. "When you start teaching, you will need a good timepiece," Melody's mother said. "I know it's too early to give this to you. You're not even in school for teaching yet, but well, you know me. I'm not one to put things off." Her mother pushed her daughter's hair over her delicately pointed ears. "I'm just so proud of you, honey. So glad you're getting out." But here Melody was, back again. but this time as a teacher. Would her mother still be proud of her? How would she ever know now that Mama was gone? Melody blinked and looked down at the class roster, then into the students' faces. She put the roster away. "I was planning on calling the roll and going through the syllabus," she said, and then eyed an elf with hand raised. Her first hand raise. Already. "And what is your name?"
"Arabella Singmore, Miss Growl."
"Your question, Arabella."
"I was just going to say that it is customary for the instructor to take attendance and review the syllabus, ma'am."
She wrinkled her nose a bit. How do elves do that?
"Thank you, Arabella. And that's fine and all, but, you know, it's a lovely day outside. I think we should go out."
The class looked at each other. The Mothman wasn't sure at all. He stared at her with his large, unblinking eyes.
"I'm not supposed to go out in the day, miss."
His voice was muffled and strange. The accent was only a little North Carolina, she thought. "Oh?
Hurt my eyes!"
Oh. She should have stuck to the plan. She looked around at the rest of the class. "Maybe we shouldn't go out." The class groaned again, and some of them sat back in their seats angrily, crossing their arms. No, this day was not going well. Arabella tried to look contrite.
"My other teachers say that once something is decided, one should stick to it. Is that right?"
The elf nodded. Melody looked forlornly at the Mothman.
"I'm sorry, what is your name?"
"Rollin."
"Rollin. What a nice name." His red eyes seemed to glow a bit brighter.
"I was named after my great-grandfather, Rollin."
"The Mothman," said the vampire, the rude one that had caused the trouble at the Spooky Cathead Biscuit concert the night before. "What was his name?" "Corey Holofield III. No doubt, by the smirk on his face, he was about to cause some more trouble. "You know the Mothman. He's not from around here." Rollin's eyes glowed with a more sinister glow. "Three generations in dog hobble, you have." Melody cut him off. To Rollin, she said, "I don't suppose you want to stay in here and write your paragraph." The Mothman shrugged his densely feathered shoulders.
"Makes me no never mind."
"Okay, then," she turned to the rest of the class. "Shall we go?"
Miss Melody, sorry.
It was Rollin again.
"What exactly was it you were wanting me to write?"
Melody could have kicked herself. What else could go wrong? She should have stuck to the plan. Oh, how silly of me. Everyone was on their feet, ready to go outside, but Melody motioned for them to sit back down.
"I hope y'all will bear with me. I'm new to this, you know." She gave a nervous laugh.
No one else laughed.
"We're going outside. Don't worry. Just let me tell y'all what I want you to do when you're out there."
They hated her already. She could see it in their faces.
I just need a few sentences to give me an idea of how you write. It's called a diagnostic paragraph."
"Nothing."
"You know, like a diagnosis you get from a doctor."
"But you aren't a doctor, are you?" said the vampire. "You don't have a doctorate."
"No, but I'm kind of like a doctor, you know."
She stepped from behind the podium and put her hands behind her back. She began to walk down the aisle.
"I am like a doctor."
"Dr. Melody!"
said the Boojum.
"Dr.
Dr. Melody, I like that. And I can diagnose your writing pathology just by looking at a few sentences, like any good doctor. She walked Becca up the aisle. I think this would be a good time for a song. But, you know, I'm just a poor narrator, and I really don't know what in the heck I'm doing. And so I'm just gonna, you know, read it because I don't have time and talent enough to write another song right now. So here it is. I hope you enjoy it anyway. Maybe one of you out there could come up with a melody for this song. It's called The Good Doctor. It was not long ago. I was still in school. The pressure was on at the end of the semester when something was suddenly, desperately wrong. It was my thumb. It hurt. Was almost more than I could bear. I only wanted to numb the pain, find some relief. I tried soaking it, wrapping it, splinting it. It felt broken, but how could it be broken? But nothing helped. It hurt. Was almost more than I could bear. If only someone could numb the pain, give me relief. It was so bad. I finally broke down because I never wanted to see a doctor, never trusted him. Boojum sings, me neither. Zombie sings, hate him except for the drugs. I never wanted to see a doctor, but the pain would not abate. I never wanted to see a doctor, but it was beyond debate. So I took the thumb down to the good doctor, Dr. Timothy McDonough. I waited for an hour, a whole long hour. I waited, was almost more than I could bear. When would he see me? When would he care about my pain and give me some relief? When he finally shuffled into the room, spoke to me with muffled voice, an old voice that asked, where does it hurt? I held out my arm. He took one look. I know what's wrong. The pain. The pain. Then he called. He called to his nurse. His equally old nurse. Julia, he said, you got to get in here right now and see this. What is it? I said, still in pain. I've never seen anything like it, he said. I'm in pain, I said. The nurse came in, and he said, look at that, she said. I've never seen anything like it. What is it? What is it? I cried. He looked at me and said, those bumps don't usually occur on the arm. They don't? No. They usually appear around the waist. They do? What is it? It's herpes. Zoster. Herpes. But I can't have herpes, not me. Herpes zoster, also called shingles. It was shingles. It was amazing. It was a miracle. Just one look and he knew. What do I do? I said. Why, there's nothing to be done. Nothing? What are you doing now? Taking Tylenol? Then do that. That's all? There's nothing more that I can do. Well, that is the most depressing song. What a letdown. Sorry, I told you it was my first day. So what do you want us to write about anyway? Anything you want. But
I don't know what to write about.
Me neither.
Write about anything. Come on, give us some idea. Okay, let me think. I told you an experience about going to the doctor. You tell me about a time you were in pain and someone made it better.
That sucks.
I'm just throwing it out there. Let me think. How about writing about a famous relative? Rollin, you can write a paragraph about your great-grandfather, Rollin.
Rollin shrugged. Okay.
That sucks, too. Let's go out to the lake. You can write a paragraph about your first day at school. That, I know, that sucks. But let's go out and maybe you will be inspired. I doubt it, but maybe you will be.
I don't think so.
Are we gonna ride out there?
Why, yes, we are.
Well, I don't have anything to write about.
Well, I have a surprise. You do? Yes, I went by supply and got you all this nice book with the new campus logo, one for each of you.
Really? Why, that's kind of nice.
Ain't no teacher ever gave me nothing before. Thank you, Miss Melody.
You're welcome. So 25 students went out with paper and pen, the old-fashioned way, and headed out to scatter around and sit at the picnic tables and benches around the little lake where no one ever sat. And they started writing. Susan, who happened to be a gnome like her teacher, had no idea what to write about. She wasn't good at writing and was only here because her parents had insisted. They wanted more for her than they ever had. Susie, as they called her, tried to convince them that that famous TV guy said you didn't really need college anymore, and he was a celebrity who never went to college but makes lots of money, so he should know. Susie didn't need college. She knew gnomes who had gone off to college and now were back working at the toy factory, not making toys, of course, because their fingers were too fat, but still working at the toy factory. They could have saved a ton of money and time if they had just gone straight to the factory. So she sat at the rotting picnic table and stared at the logo, big broad stripes of blue and silver with little stripes of blue and silver in between. It was kind of hypnotic. Then she looked at the little lake. It was called a lake, but it was really just a pond. Last year when she was a senior in high school and came to visit the school, the pond was all dried up. She asked Mindy, the elf who was giving the tour, why it was all dried up, and she said that there had been a leak in the dam or something. She wasn't sure. In any case, the pond was full again now. While she was sitting there, watching the ducks floating on the now-filled pond, the sun glistening on the water, rippling in the slight breeze, she was suddenly glad the dam had been repaired. A shadow fell over her empty notebook. She looked up. It was Miss Melody. Can't think of anything to write? I don't have a single idea. You looked deep in thought when I came up. What were you thinking about? Oh, nothing. Nothing? Just last year when I came to visit with my mom. I really didn't want to come here. Most of my other friends were going to four-year schools in the real world, and I have to come here. But I guess it's not gonna be so bad. I think you found something to write about.
I have?
That visit you made with your mom.
Yeah?
Yeah, you could write about what it was like then and what it's like now. Was the pond different?
I was just thinking that. It was so different then. It was all dried up, you know?
Oh, yeah, you have something to write about, all right.
Yeah,
I guess I do. Thanks, Miss Melody. You're welcome. Miss Melody? Yes. Are you going to write something? Melody didn't say anything at first. She hadn't really thought about it. But she supposed that perhaps she should. It felt right. Yes, Susie, I think I will write something. She pointed to the other side of the picnic table. May I? Sure. They both began to write. And here is what they came up with. Susie Mountainside, English 101, Professor Melody Grau. Me and my mom came to campus last year during college night that they have here every year. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but I hated it because it was so ugly. Big ugly buildings and a dried up pond. I mean, all dried up with heaps of sand and dirt and spiky ugly bushes and grass all growing up where the water should be. But now that I'm here and have gone to my first class in English class, it's not so bad. And the pond is all filled up with water again. It even looks kind of pretty out here. Melody. The students are scattered around the lake like buoys of life. Locked inside each one is a story, something of value to say, a reason to write. The breeze blows, rippling the water and fluttering the pages of the notebooks she'd given them, beckoning them to share what is inside of them. The sadness of a loss, the joy of a first kiss, the celebration of a victory. What do you want to say? How do I help you say it?
Mr. Shakely, a business management instructor, sorta administrator troll, who secretly wanted to have Dr. Dagg's job and plan to one day, was making his way across the land bridge that spanned the so-called lake. He felt Dr. Dagg should have taken the opportunity when the lake pond was all dried up to pave it over and have more parking. Not cost-effective to maintain a lake pond that has no practical purpose. Anyway, nothing he could do about that. Not yet, anyway. So he made his way to the other side of the campus. He was headed over to the big guy's office to do his daily suck-up when he saw groups of students sitting around the lake. What were they doing? Could it be? Were they writing? He crept up to a picnic table where two students sat writing, two gnomes.
"Where is your instructor?" he barked.
One gnome looked up, bewildered. "Excuse me?
Aren't you a member of the class? What are you doing out here? Is there something wrong with your classroom?"
The other redheaded one said, She's the teacher. That's Miss Melody."
"Miss Melody? I don't know any teacher here named Miss Melody."
The mousy-haired gnome held out her hand. "Melody Growl. I'm new here."
Mr. Shakely only grunted. He did not take Melody's hand, perhaps because he was a troll. You know how they can be.
"It was just such a pretty day. We thought we would come out and sit by the lake to write our diagnostic paragraphs."
"I guess English classes do that kind of thing. All touchy-feely. I suppose the students like it. Not very practical, though."
Melody pursed her lips. "I don't know. Doing any kind of writing seems practical to me, especially considering how little these students write and that they will be required to write extensively in most professions. Those worth having, anyway."
"I don't know about that."
"And you are?"
"Oh, that's right. You wouldn't know me, would you? I am Mr. Shakely, Business Administration."
"You are Business Administration?"
"I am Chair of the Business Department."
Oh. Do you teach at all then?
Of course I teach. My required 1-3 contact hour class that meets Tuesday and Thursday. Are you saying I don't teach my fair share? I'm a very busy man. I'm sort of the chair. I guess maybe you should call me the lead teacher. Anyway, I'm a very busy man. I have you know, Miss Growl.
He gave a trollish stamp of his foot and continued on his way, eager to ask who hired this new English instructor. If he were VP, she would have never made it to the first round of interviews. A gnome. Oh, my goodness. What time is it? Said Susie as Mr. Shakley stamped off. Melody looked at her watch. Oh, shoot! She jumped up and started waving her hands wildly at the other students.
What is it? Asked Susie, closing her notebook.
I've gone over time. Y'all are going to be late for your next class. She waved her hands and yelled, class is missed. Class is dismissed! If you're late to your next class, tell them it's my fault. The students started hurrying to pack up. It's all my fault! What a way to start her first class of her first day. You're gonna hate me.
But I think I can safely say, Miss Melody.
No.
No, they're not gonna hate you. Not at all.
Thank you for joining us for the first episode of the second season of Campus, a novel that wants to be a musical by Katie Winkler. This episode was brought to you by Angela Cantola and Don Wallace. Also, Anchor, making podcasting easy. I used the Anchor app for the whole episode, including the background music. It's great. Take a look at it if you want to do some podcasting like me. Hope to see you next time. Thanks again for joining me. Bye.